Hey, this is Expose the Podcast. Thanks for downloading and listening to today's conversation. And thank you for supporting our mission to bringing awareness to domestic abuse. If you enjoyed today's conversation, please subscribe and share. And we are so looking forward to the journey ahead.
What's up? I feel naked in the way that it is Laverne Badger and Tommy.
You got broke up with too.
Natalie is not here today. Her baby is... I know. It's her birthday today.
Oh, well, so, that's actually good.
I know. She's spending time, and that's where I'm going after I leave here. But she's spending time with her baby. They turning up with some pizza and cake. And but I am riding, not even solo, duo, because y'all know Tommy, the hitman and the hands. Say what's up, Tommy. That's his thing.
That's what y'all get.
Them wanting more.
However, though, this is gonna be an amazing show. So, how was your week, Tommy?
It was interesting. Getting prepared for an interview tomorrow, and it's actually stressing me out quite a bit. But
really?
Yeah. So, looking for...
But it'll soon be over, right?
Yeah. I'm always getting these interviews that require, like, work and, presentations that take time to prepare for, and then you sweat. But...
Well, more money.
That's what I'm looking
for. You gotta work harder.
I'm looking for so I can get in this real estate game, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
So how was the Mother's Day? Like what happened? What went on?
Well, I had the girls for Mother's Day weekend.
That is a Mother's Day. Thank you. Kudos to you. Give the hands to you. Yes.
All right. I had them. And they're old, so they don't have to be with me, but they were with me. And the mother did their thing. And they got sick. They was all sick.
Oh, you end up with the sick kids on Mother's Day. Right. That is an even better Mother's Day for her.
So, yeah. Well, maybe I kind of made that up so it could sound way more like I was giving like this gift. Yes, and I took them off your hands.
What a guy.
Yes, so we had this whole debate about Mother's Day, and do you feel guilty about, do moms feel guilty for not wanting to be with their children on Mother's Day? And I thought it was based on the ages. So if you have small age children, like if you running around with them all the time, every day cooking, cleaning and everything, the gift is not to have them, to me, right?
That's the gift to me. I'll say that.
But when your kids are older, I look forward to that because that means I'm not paying for dinner.
They
come in with gifts. So I'm like, I'm here for the Mother's Day of the adult children.
I'm sure that's like a big debate during the divorce because usually when you're splitting up time, trying to figure out if you want them on holidays or not.
Right. And then that Mother's Day and Father's Day come up.
Right. That's one day that I would rather than I want to just do my thing kind of thing. But honestly, Father's Day, my cousin has a annual Father's Day picnic and we go to his house and we gather and I just take the kids with us.
And that was the flip side of the conversation was mothers want the break from the children possibly on Mother's Day and dads are expected to spend time with the children as if dads don't do the day-to-day work.
Yeah,
I don't get in that controversy.
Well, now it's a little fun because they're a little older, so they can drink with me.
You stupid.
They have age. Like, all right.
So you do all.
Try this whiskey.
All I keep thinking of is the one I met, the mini you.
Oh, little Yo, Tommy. Yeah,
she, little Tommy. She ain't old enough for that.
Right, but she's working at a bar though, right? I mean, it's not a bar; it's a restaurant.
That her mom is at. She's a great host, though.
Yeah, she's the one who always asking to taste down. Like, no, you're the one who can't, but always asking to taste. But
she's a great host. She has.
I'm sorry, this went left. I'm not a bad daddy. I don't be making them get drunk. So
they were sick in your care. They hanging around at barbecues with men and drinking
cigars and drinking. Okay, it's the Father's Day.
Sound like a good time to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't normally drink or smoke, but that's the day I will sit around with the guys and do that.
Okay. All right, well, I'm glad your day went well and your weekend went well. Mm-hmm. So,
How was Mother's Day?
Mother's Day was good. Like I said, I got some gifts. I got free meals and I found a free patio meals. Set. Meals. I feel like I've been eating out all weekend.
Well, that's great.
That's why this stomach is tucked up underneath this table for y'all that are seeing this in YouTube world. Yes, it for a reason.
You're doing a good job. How about that?
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't know. I just pressed the button.
So it was a good time, and I found a patio set. I was like, I finally had to get out the house and actually go look at some things in person. I had been searching for a couple months online. You know how you look at stuff online? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I finally did that, found something, paid for it. Richard put it together. It was all a good weekend, I must say.
I can't wait till I get grown again and start buying patio furniture. And stuff. Yes.
I'm excited about this summer. So, now that we have gotten the shenanigans of our weekends out, we have two amazing guests here. And I have a personal connection with both of these ladies. And they... before they got all up in my business of buying a house, right? Because that is definitely a situation where it's very personal, right? It's very personal. And so you have to trust the individuals that you're working with, because this is one of the biggest purchases or the biggest purchase that you'll ever make, right? And so I want to first introduce, I'm going to introduce them separately, but I want them to talk about who they are, what they do, and how long you've been doing it, and so that you guys can get to know these ladies, and I think you already know them. If you don't, then you better ask somebody, because this is where it's at. So, on to my left, depending on where you're sitting, seeing this video, is Cicely Weaver. I met Cicely when I was through my cousin, who they grew up together in second or third grade. Uh-huh. And so I met Cicely probably in my 20s, and she was doing this back then, and she's still doing real lending and money and banks and funding for loans and mortgages now at at a higher level. Dang. Yes. She has been in this industry a very long time. So, Cicely Weaver, thank you. So, let us know who you are, where you work, what you do, girl.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for having me here. Like she said, my name is Cicely Weaver. I've been in the mortgage business, stopped counting, about 25 years. Mm-hmm. I was blessed to raise my children while doing this business. I was always getting to work from home in the office. And that's what I've loved to do. I started processing, I started selling loans, and I started, had my own business, and then just went into still banking. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm at Tabell Bank Mortgage.
Okay. And so what part of this do you like the most? So you've been through every phase of that process, right?
Yes.
So what part do you absolutely love?
I love the lending part, like sitting with a first-time home buyer, a customer who does not think that they could buy, and believing that you can actually own your
home. Giving them that reality.
Yes.
Wow. Yes. Okay.
That Oprah. Yeah. You get a house. You get a loan. Right.
So this is where you start over here with Cicely, but where you end is with my girl Tabitha. Tab and I go way back. Tab know my first name, my government name, which we will not. If you don't know it, you don't need to know it on this show. So
it's not Laverne.
It's part of it. You, right, what time? Tab and I met at work. So at the USDA Forest Service, she was already there when I came, and she was doing her thing in property, right? She was already property management at the federal level, and just was just doing an amazing job. She's always been like this diehard workaholic. I mean, like a pit bull with a bone. Like, she knows exactly what she's going to be doing, and we're going to get more into how you walked out on faith and said, I'm not working for somebody else, I'm going to start working for myself. Yeah, so she was rehabbing before we knew rehab. You go to Tab House and the whole bathroom be tore up, the living room, it'd be planks in the living room on the floor. This was all before, like, the home network and stuff. She was always into that. And I'm like, she is super crazy, but at the finished product. But no further ado, welcome, Tabitha.
Hey, thank you so much.
Yeah, so what is it that you do? So let's bring everybody up to speed. What do you do right now?
Well, I'm at Coldwell Banker, okay, where I am a realtor, and I have been in real estate, like you said, from property management with the government to taking a faith walk in 2015 and leaving the government and all those good benefits, and working with real estate and rehab. I have my general contractor's license, so I do it all.
She keeps all the money. You hear me? She keeps all the money.
I need the bag.
She's selling the house. She writing up the contract. She getting you. She know her peoples who can come and rehab for you. Tab is keeping all the money.
So while you showing houses, you're also telling them, well, that's an easy fix.
It is. Sometimes
that's the benefit.
That helps. Yeah. It greatly helps that you can see the finished product and the potential, and help a buyer to see, and even help a seller to kind of do sprucing up, mm-hmm, so that they can be in a better position to sell for more. So, and if they don't find who they're looking for to do it, they can call me because I know how to do it.
There you go. I mean, not just hire somebody. She literally knows
you
how
literally
to do it.
It.
She
yes,
literally
island,
knows
painting,
how to do it.
Framing, all of that good stuff. So.
Yes. So the connection of these two women is that this was my team when me and Richard bought our house. And so I went through, was online going through this home rehousing resources to get information in this class, and seeing, I knew I wasn't going to qualify for no grants, but you know, I just wanted the information. And the finance piece came up there, and Cicely showed up. I said, oh, I don't need this call, no, this training no more. I know Cicely. Let me call Cicely. And I hadn't talked to her in years, and I called, and we connected that way. And then I was like, okay. Then when you're looking for a realtor, and I was saying earlier, that's it's very personal. Yeah. And so I didn't want anybody technically that I knew, because if I had to fire them, I wouldn't feel bad. So I knew Tab was doing real estate, but I just didn't want, like, if she wasn't good, I would just be like,
I wasn't her first choice. Let's just say that. Ooh. But I was her last.
She wasn't. I grabbed on to some woman, and I just was like, this ain't it. We gonna get into the meat of what y'all need, but I'm telling you this, an exposed flavor. Let me tell you this story. So I go in with someone, and you know, they say what the list is, you know what your dollar amount is, your buying power is, and you say, this is what I want and have to haves, and you know, things that I can do without. Mm-hmm. Everything we was looking at, we looked by the fourth house. I was like, I'm done. You wasting my gas at this time. Me and Rich, we were driving in the neighborhood. We was like, didn't we say the neighborhood was one of the priorities? Like, I would rather have a smaller house than to have a bigger house in the neighborhood that I didn't want to be in. And so she wasn't listening. She wasn't listening. And so I had to let her go. And so then I was like, let me just call Tab. I started talking to her. I couldn't get off the phone fast enough when I told Tabitha what I wanted. And she was sending me an email to links of houses that we needed to go see. Yeah. That, and it was on point to what I had said just over the phone. So it was like, oh yeah.
I don't think they don't be listening. I think they just want to show you what they want to show you. The ones that don't be listening. I think they just have an idea.
That's even worse.
I want to sell these, so yeah. I'm going to give them to you. Right. Gonna be that. You're going to be in my. Is that true? Is that accurate?
And sometimes realtors, which is a disservice, they sell to where they feel that we would be more comfortable. So they kind of unknowingly steer us into certain areas to where, hey. She might feel more comfortable with her own people, but me, I know Laverne.
No, ma'am. I love us, and I do. I love us, but there's some areas I just don't want to be in.
Yeah, and so sometimes when you don't know, when the realtor does, you don't have that relationship. It could cost you time and gas, like you said, versus someone who knows you that can say, hey, you know what. I know we've joked a lot, and I think I even said that on the phone, kind of like, I know I joke, but when it comes to real estate, that's a whole different ball game. So my goal is to get you the keys and make you feel like you got walked away with the biggest piece of the pie.
Right. You don't want to feel like a used car salesman, like you just got for something that you really don't love or, you know, like. And when we were talking, and so my connection was, okay, Cicely first. Cicely, go through that process with Cicely because I need to know what we're working with. I need to know, you know, turning all that paperwork because, again, I don't want to waste my time, but I definitely don't want to waste anybody, Tabitha's time or even the homeowners, you know, going in and getting my feelings hurt and embarrassed and falling in love with something that I can't afford, you know. And so now we've established that you have to build a certain relationship and have a respect for who you're working with. And trust, you know, with who you're, because everybody can say, well, if you come to my bank or you come to my financial institute, we can get you the best rate and things like that. So how do you know that you're even ready? So in a market like last summer was the last 2 summers or 2 years have been ridiculous. Like you can't keep a house on the market, right?
Right.
So how do you know when it's time to buy and sell? So are we still in we're still in the times where it's a good time to buy?
Oh, for sure. I mean, first you would go with us, go to the bank, and you would sit down with the customer, and you have start having that conversation. Like you said, the relationship. You want to know, they want to know what is the process. I need to know what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Are you looking for a condo? Are you looking for a single family? Are you looking for a duplex? Who's planning to live with you? There's lots of programs out there, and there's lots of grants out there. So the conversation is crucial when you first start. Once you have that conversation, it's basically looking at your credit. Let's see where you start. Do you need to go to first-time homebuyer classes to get your credit ready, or are you ready at that time?
So what are some of the myths that that keep people from even taking that first step to showing? Because I know for me, it was now, so Richard has owned a house before, and I had never owned a house, and I just was really, you know, there was a time where I was like, oh, I wanted to, and then I had a bad experience, and a house came up under me, and I just had a bad realtor. And that was, I mean, I was in my 20s, and I was just like, I'm over it, right? But I didn't want the responsibility. I didn't understand the importance of owning. And so I went all these years convincing myself that, oh, I don't need that. Because I don't want the responsibility of having to mow the lawn, the responsibility if something breaks, then I can just make a phone call and it'll be somebody else's responsibility to do it. So I was waiting for, if I were to do it, that I need to be up in that 800, 750, 50 score range. That's not true.
That is not true.
So what is true?
So based on where you go, because every programs are different, all you have to have is a 620 credit score. Okay. A 620 credit score is going to bring you in the bank and see where you can stand. You still have options.
So 620 score, but you can't have like judgments and things like that. So it's not just the score.
Correct. Right? It's not just a score. And that's why we look at the credit report.
Okay.
To see what you have.
Okay.
There's got to be a minimum of 3 trade lines. Those are debts. Mm-hmm. If you don't have, if you're a customer that don't have credit cards and you only have rent and Netflix, and those we call alternative credits. Mm. You could still buy. Mm-hmm. We just need 3. It's just more documentation that you're going to need.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Yep. So once they decide, so once they're in there and say, okay, now we're ready. Because it, and what's the time frame? I think another myth is that it's wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Like, what can be the time frame from when? Because we ain't even talked to Tab yet. Because we can't talk to Tab, y'all, until we get some money.
Mm-hmm. And and to your point, that's one of the common myths is like, let's start with the realtor. If I can afford to rent, then I can afford to buy, which is totally untrue. And some of the myths is, and it's a fear of rejection, too.
Mm, yes.
So
yes.
They don't even want to go to her because of what they may find.
Yes.
And so we have to overcome that myth that, I don't want them to tell me no, but in their mind, they're pumping themselves up. Hey, I paid $1,300 for rent, so I know I can afford it, but still won't go and really find out where they are credit-wise.
Right.
Just because you can afford to pay a high rent doesn't necessarily put you in the best position to buy a house, especially if you are irresponsible in other areas of paying debt, right?
Right.
That's correct.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Different debt counts for the credit report and how long you've had it. Who's reporting it? TransUnion, Experian, Equifax. Not all of them report at the same time, and that's why the credit score is so varies. Yeah.
Okay.
If you have collections, medical collections, depending on the amount, your circumstance, what happened, what situation is, because there's a lot of programs, is if it's out of your control, there's still things that we could do.
Right.
If you are being delinquent because you don't want to pay your $25, you know, then you think, like, are you actually ready? If you can't pay $25, what makes the bank know that you could pay $700, you know?
Right. So we have to be accountable, too, for our actions, right?
That's correct.
So, and our bad habits or even some good habits, because if good habits can hurt you, too, meaning I don't ever want a credit card or I'm using cash for everything. And so
That's huge. That's huge because, like, my husband thought that buying everything, you know, in cash is good.
Mm-hmm.
But then you don't have a record. You don't have nothing to show to the bank that you're, credit worth.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
That you could pay back.
Right.
So buying everything in cash is not good. Right. You know, you need something. And even if it's a customer that has 10 credit cards, but they're paying it at the same, you know, on time, and everything is in line, and you don't owe more than a third of the balance, it's good credit.
Right.
You know, what the bank looks for is if something happens, you have a way out.
Right.
You know, and that's why those credit cards come in handy, because you have emergency to get out of there. Now, if you have it and you're capped up, and guess what? That's bad credit.
Right.
Because you're just putting yourself in a hole to trying to, you know, get out. Yep.
So now that Cicely has told y'all, come on, y'all can get it. So what is that piece of paper everybody looks for to say that they are approved?
So your pre-approval.
Pre-approval. So that stamp pre-approval. Then you can go on over to Miss Tab.
Yeah. And before we come over here, can you break down real quick, Cicely, there's a pre-approval and then there's pre-qualification.
Right.
Ooh,
can you explain the difference?
Right. Yes.
Because there is.
So a lot of times, customer does not want to provide all their documents. You know, they just want to have a quick phone call. Hey, can you just pull my credit, do an application, and see what I could do? Nothing has been validated. Nothing has been reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the difference.
So one is that one? The one over the phone and not really validating. That's the pre-qualification.
Yep.
Okay.
Pre-qualification. Okay. Everything is verbal. And based on the credit and the program, you possibly can buy.
Can I ask, are you motivated by the pre-approval or by the pre-qualification?
Pre-approval all day, because a pre-qualification is like going to the mall without a means to pay for anything.
Okay.
Window shopping.
Yeah. Okay. So I say, I'm pre-qualified. You're like, all right.
Yep. Go back to go back and see Cicely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right. At that time, at that time, we would gather all of your documents and we will send it over to underwriting. Underwriting will review it, will validate, will call verification that you actually working, and then we provide the pre-approval letter just to say
and
that
this,
yes.
And this again, timing. This is
what, and that can make or break getting your house.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, what is the time frame that they would be with you based on everything's going right? They're giving you all your documents. Mm-hmm. Best case scenario, and having underwriting look at it. Mm-hmm. It still can be a couple months, right?
Well, it depends on the situation.
Okay.
If someone is ready and they want to have no surprises, they will give me the documentations and probably take about a week to go into underwriting and let them know.
Okay. That's because Cicely is the bomb.
She's good.
I used to be an underwriter as well, so kind of looking
look at
to
it.
See.
And that's she did that with me. She was like, okay, this looks fine. You're going to be fine. Or you need to get this. So I just want people to have a mindset so they're not stressing you.
Yeah.
And I'm guilty. I did that too. Because you get excited because you're getting closer. You're like, what?
But you know me. Yeah. I work till very late.
She works.
You know?
We're not promoting that.
Emails at like, well, we work behind the scene.
Yes.
1 and 2 in the morning, sending each other emails, documents, just to make sure that it's a seamless process for the buyer. So,
mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Now we coming to you.
Everybody is not like that.
now we get to shop.
Yes, I love.
So, is there
that.
Anything that you require other than that pre-approval when you take on a client?
Just an open mind, and I like to build relationships because I like to build relationships not only with the buyer, but especially with the lender as well, because that's how Cicely and I have had many successful things in making sure that you had a very pleasant process all around from inception of getting your pre-approval to closing on that home. I look at it, I always ask the buyer, what is their end game? That's how I start everything. What is your end game? Is it, I want this quirky house to infinity, I'm not moving, or do I want something as an investment, or do I want something that I'm just going to use for 5 years and be able to sell? That helps me narrow searches down. And then, you do fact-finding questions, where you want to be, who are you? I need to know who's it going to be for, your families and whatnot. If you have 5 children, I'm not going to try to sell you a 2-bedroom condo. So getting to know you, getting to know all about you, getting to like you, hoping that you like me, is definitely... It's a song for everything. Those are some things that, but the first question in everything is, what is your end game?
That's a
that.
Good point. Because that makes your job easier too, right?
It does.
Right.
And with the
so
way
So old
gas
girl
is,
from the beginning, she didn't know what our end game was. She wasn't listening.
Yeah. She didn't ask the right questions either.
Right. So.
Speaking of right questions. Is it 2019? I think it was early 2019. I was in the market, and I had my pre-approval. I had a realtor, and she was nice. She got to know me. She listened to me. But when it was time to put the bid in, I was getting my butt kicked. Like, I was not getting any bids. So to the point where I got to racing to try to get a bid in just to get the house, and I didn't really want the house. I just wanted to win.
And that's when I
pulled out. I was like, I'm not in this for the right reason right now, right. And I stopped looking. But I wanted my realtor to help me with my bid. And I don't know if it's legal or not, but
we normally our goal is to provide you with the facts of providing what the market is, where houses are in the area. And we're not really supposed to give you a
well, write the offer for $179.99999999, mm-hmm. whatever. But whatever price range, you know, we provide them with. I think I share with you, like, hey, this is what, these are what houses are going mm-hmm. for in the area. Mm-hmm. What do you, I always, and I asked her, I said, hey, Laverne, give me a number that you feel comfortable with, that at the end of the day, if you lost the house, you felt that you gave everything okay. you had.
She did ask that.
And yeah. if you won the house, you didn't feel like you overpaid for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so even in a crazy market, of a co-laborer in the real estate game, Shauna, she's a beast. Weatherspoon, she said today, I just want to plug it. She said, I don't care how crazy the buyer market is, I'm not setting our clients up to be underwater a year or a few from now. It will happen in due season.
Mm-hmm.
And that's yeah. what I believe. And I have told many buyers, you know, not looking at my own pocket, I don't care. Is that if you can afford to wait in this crazy market, please do, because you don't want, like you said, they have that. The economy creates a, you got to buy it now, you got to right. buy it now, you right. got to buy it now, or you'll lose it. And,
People
no, and we fall for it.
More,
yeah,
yeah. I was looking for houses. I had a price range. I think I was like, it was just me, and my daughter was coming back from Tennessee. I was like, all right, this is two of us. I don't need nothing big. 140, I think 160 was my top. So I wasn't looking for anything great.
Mm-hmm.
Those houses going for 200. They were
over.
They were
old, in the hood.
Yeah, they were going like 40, 50 over right. The list price.
Nothing fixed about them.
And do right. you know how many years it's going to take for them to recoup that money? That negative equity that yeah. they've built into the home, where real estate really isn't one of the untapped markets. Well, not so much anymore, but for African Americans, for our mm-hmm. people, there is so much untapped wealth in the city of Milwaukee to become millionaires, us to become millionaires. But overpricing or overbuying in this market, I always educate. I give them, hey, if you want it, make sure you get inspections, make sure you get appraisals to, mm-hmm. to where you're not overpaying. And Sicily won't loan you more than what the house is worth anyway. So, right.
But then people come with their own cash and pay
and that's,
more over mm-hmm. because they fall in love with a house that's not worth that.
And I'm glad you said that, because I always say to the buyer, I said, don't fall in love with the house, fall in love with the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I go when I buy a house, when I buy a car. And when I buy my food, I fall in love with a good deal.
It's your food.
Yes. That Gruyere Gouda cheese. Is all, yeah, you fall in love with a deal. And so you give them that, and they respect it.
So I think, so the talent that you have, the talent that Tab has, because she's a jack of all trades, right? So she can go in a house and help be your inspector as well.
Right.
And she all dolled up and cute today, but she gets grimy. She is not afraid of getting dirty and spider webs and all of that nail dirt in the nails. But when the house that we ended up with, it was, so we had been looking at spec sheets and stuff, and Tab said, I got one that I want y'all to look. And I was like, did you send it? She was like, no. And I didn't send it. And I said, but we should. And then she says, the two bedroom. I said, that ain't what we said. Nah, that ain't what we said. And so she said, you just got to look at the house. So we driving down the street. And first of all, the neighborhood, the trees look like it's something out of, I'm telling you, it was just something out of a movie. It's gorgeous in yeah. the winter when the snow is up. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So we pull up in front of me and Richard, and we like, okay, well, we're going to go in here. It's a two-bedroom. We walk in, and it was like the sun had hit us at the door. It was so bright, and then I still was focused on this two-bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
But they had two living rooms. It was a living room, dining room, and a family room. I'm like, we don't need yeah. no family room, and it was off to the deck. And so as we're walking through, and Tab is like, oh, you can knock this wall down because she got that. That mm-hmm. knowing what you can knock down, what wall, turn this family room into a master bedroom, have it right off the deck. It was out, and that's exactly what we did.
That's crazy, because every time a two bedroom came up, I was like, no. No. I just kept swiping.
And
I,
you do who yourself a disservice.
How are you going to resell a two-bedroom house?
Why do they make these?
You make it into a three-bedroom, and you automatically walk in, and you increase the value. I know some of the stuff that she's done to her home, and she probably easily has 50 to 60 in equity over her house because of the things that she did.
The bones were good, and you could tell us, we didn't have to hire somebody separate to tell us when we went in the basement how dry it was. The bones were good, so it turned into a three-bedroom with a finished basement. And so a master suite. So but that was the vision, that she could look at those spec sheets and those sheets and know. But again, the priority was the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. The priority was the
neighborhood
area.
Is wonderful.
Yes, the priority was the neighborhood for us. And so now that the fun part, because everybody wants to get to the shopping part, right?
Yeah.
Of looking for a house. So let's talk. So what are the things that you want people to know before we get shopping, or during the time that we go shopping? That's just as important as shop, because shopping is the easy part to me.
Well, I think I put in my notes, I wanted to say, because, you know, I'm a believer, and Jesus is a carpenter, and counting the cost of what you're doing, counting the true cost of buying a home. Some people, again, like we talked about earlier, I can pay $1,300 in rent, so I can afford a $200,000 mortgage payment, which would only be such and such. But when you do that without counting the cost, you don't have, and I give a plug out to life insurance. If you don't have life insurance and you're trying to buy a house, you're doing things backwards, like that, because at the end of the day, you end up using your house as collateral when someone dies or whatever to pay for the funeral. So get yourself some life insurance. I know I'm not here for life insurance, but get some life insurance before you get a
home. Yeah, right? So that costs about $15-$25.
Yeah, so
until the term out, I just find out my term out. I look like 5 years. I'm like, wait, hold on.
Mine's been for the same forever.
So when you, that is the most important thing in determining what your, after you determine what your end game is really to count the cost. So
are people counting like that water bill, that furnace that's going out, that home warranty that you need to get to cover some of those major appliances?
Some are not.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's up to us as realtors to educate. And I would say not only us as realtors, but lenders too, because offering a loan product that would, you know, essentially hurt them just to get a deal, you know, and that's why I love working with Cicely. You know, she we may not always tell you what you want to hear, but we'll tell you what you need to hear.
Right.
That's also counting the cost, understanding that. Yeah, I want to stay in this range. Like, I'm dealing with a buyer now that wants to stay within a certain price range at the end of the day. And I said, well, did you account in that number for water, for incidentals? Do you have how much in reserves? What, 6 months of reserves in case something happens with your job or whatever?
Those AKA are the pandemic when all these people.
You have to count the cost. And that's scripture. So read about it. But we're not here for that. But that influences a lot of what I do in how I walk in with buyers and with lenders as well, because we kind of balance each other and we hold each other up accountable for making sure that our buyer, what, they have the best deal, they have the best house. And then I like playing chess. Women play chess. Men play chess. No, but that's another discussion. In terms of, you want to buy a house that someone else wants to buy when you're ready to sell. Like, you, people are going to be lining up to buy your house, regardless of color, regardless of ethnicity, because it's in a beautiful neighborhood, and it's always appreciating, and it's very diverse around there. So so those are some things that I love. Go ahead.
So I'm glad that you said y'all piggyback off. So when you show them something and they're like, okay, this is over the price range, so they're going to come bounce back over to Cicely to see if they can get that funding increased, right?
That's correct.
And you're going to say no.
Right.
Because she told me.
I no. did.
She told me no, and it wasn't because I was trying to buy. It wasn't because I was trying to increase my for some house that I fell in love with. It was because I thought I needed more buying power. Mm-hmm. So I was getting stuck. Mm-hmm. I was on that trail of saying if I increase my buying power, it'll open up additional options for me.
No.
Cicely was like, no, you can come bring your own money though, but what we gonna do over here
right.
is still keep you where you need to be. So
exactly. The first thing is I don't never want to put you or anyone else into a bind where you can't afford it. Because right. then at the end of the day, who are you going to be looking at is me, because I should have known better, right?
Right.
And so therefore, when Tabitha and I work together, I tell her, hey, what type of product is going to be, because that's going to matter, whether mm-hmm. it's going to be a convention or an FHA. They're very, very strict and different. And what kind of
in
property.
What way? So conventional
is a little bit more lenient, okay. right? Government, FHA, VA is a little bit more stick, you know, more particular.
But you have houses, more protection.
You do.
Than
you,
an FHA,
you,
right?
You do.
Okay.
The house have to be in tip-top shape, you know, yeah. ready to go. Yeah. You would have to, if not, they will not let you close.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So you there's pros and cons of both.
They do.
Yep, yeah, from a lending perspective as well as a buying perspective, because some sellers, they tend to, if they know that their house is not in tip-top shape, they're not going to want to entertain an FHA loan because they know it won't go through.
Right.
Or they know that they're going to have to do more work to,
get right. up to par.
Yeah, to get it up to par okay. for the buyer.
And sometimes it just depends. At Bill Bank, we have a 1% program for first-time home buyer.
Let's unpack that. Yes, you heard it correctly. 1% down payment.
Yes, ma'am. And
program right now.
It's a 620. You could use your grants for the down payment as well.
Look at the
So
Lord.
There's grants out there in addition mm-hmm. for that little 1%. I ain't gonna say little 1%, but that 1%.
I don't think I've ever heard a bank do that.
Yes. So what's the motivation?
Jesus. It's just, yeah, there you go. Amen.
That I am the first.
Amen.
So what makes this, them different?
It's a portfolio. So we keep it in-house.
That's awesome.
And is for single family homes. Mm-hmm. So there are a little restrictions of the product.
Okay.
Can't have a duplex. Can't have any other property. This is strictly for first-time home buyers, single-family home.
And what's considered a first-time home buyer? So could you have bought within
3 years? So if you have been renting within 3 years and you had a house previously, you are a first-time home buyer.
Okay.
And there's no mortgage insurance. I'm a first-time
home buyer.
Look at that.
Yeah.
1%.
There is no mortgage insurance. And for those that don't understand what mortgage insurance is, you know, as a conventional, because it's a conventional loan, you put 20% down. And that mortgage insurance is taken away. With this program, we don't have that. And that insurance protects the bank. It doesn't protect you. It just protects the bank,
right.
until you build the equity. Now, on that note, when we were talking about houses being fixed in the products, mm-hmm. it depends on the appraisal. A lot of times, if the appraisal mentions something, it's always for your benefit and for your safety.
Right.
Those things have to be complete, done, no matter what program.
Right.
And that's
right.
just right. to protect the customer.
Right.
And that's what I always tell a buyer they're protected at least three ways when buying a house. They're protected in the inspection portion,
mm-hmm.
they're protected in the appraisal portion, and they're protected in the financing portion. So all of those things are highlighted in the offer to purchase that ensure that at the end of the day you're not getting a house that's going to fall apart, because you should get an inspection. I don't care what the market says. And then you're not paying more than what you what the market is worth, which is what Cicely has been saying. They won't loan it to you anyway.
Nope.
And the finance and your numbers have to, you know, we we want to make sure you're not house poor at the end of the day. The lenders that really care and the realtors that really care about it. I believe in long money, and I'm sure Cicely does too. if you do a customer right, if you treat a client right, they will do your work for you. You know, they will advertise for you. It's like going to that restaurant and eating that good meal. That really never advertises on TV.
I said that to you. I said, because you were telling me, I reached out to you and you were like, I never solicit.
I don't.
But I had been stalking, kind of low-key watching what she was doing, and I had already experienced the carpenter in her. The only holdup was, I'm telling you, the benefit of having a Tabitha as your... I'm telling you, you get an all-in-one, for real. And she's going above and beyond. Like, she ain't no... come on, my people. You can't call nobody at 5 o'clock say, I want to go look at a house at 6. No, we not doing that. As much as we want to, and as much as I wanted to as well to be able to do that, these are still people who have families and stuff. But the grind is different with Tab. And I said the grind is also different when this is how you eat and pay your bills and take care of your family. And so having someone who have that knowledge of walking into a house that can tell what the foundation is, somebody that, this ain't gonna work, you know, or this gonna take too much money to do unless you got those resources. All in one and not having to have your uncle or your cousin come over and look at it and get their opinion. You got that in Tab. And then I love with Cicely is she, with my daughter, I sent my daughter there and she didn't get past that underwriting process because she hadn't been on her job long enough. Mm-hmm. And so the credit was right. She had the down payment and I just told her she needs to revisit it. So she's been on the job longer. Mm-hmm. So we coming back. Good. I'm sending her back because I'm like, and so that kind of sucks, you know. So there's a lot of things that play that can't put you, but you shouldn't be discouraged by it. I think she had got a little discouraged. And I'm like, no. Cicely sent that email, said 1% down. I'm like, we coming back.
Yeah.
But for more information on how those grants, because this is, what is this going to do for our black and brown people?
Oh my God.
Now let's just keep that real.
Oh my God. It's so much affordable. It's so much. I mean, our neighborhoods, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because I think the more people we have owning home than renting, is just going to be beyond. I mean, we, of course, take care of our own, you know?
Yep.
And that's one of the benefits of owning your house because your whole neighborhood becomes a family.
Right.
You know, than just renting and, you know, you don't know who and then you're watching over your things.
Right.
That's Jesus, too.
Yes. And so I was ready to sell. So I was like, okay, the market, I'm a seller now. So now we done put this money into the house and we can sell and we'll make this money. And Tab was like, have a seat, ma'am, because where you going to live?
Yeah. Right.
So I can sell my house and make money off of it. But then I'm going to be in that rat race again trying to find a house for us to buy.
And it'll be even worse because interest rates are higher than what you've paid.
Yeah.
And people are overpaying. So I wanted to back up and ask Cicely, because some people think that all they need is the down payment buying a house. One of the questions that came in was, how much should I really save to buy a house?
So let's back up a little bit because I know you mentioned about rates and rates are going up. But here with me, I don't plan on rates. I don't. Rates for me is not, you know, the end.
Mm-hmm. Could you give me the hashtag you said?
I sell budgets. You know?
Oh,
I sell budgets because if you think about it, you are the one who is paying your bills, right? You know how much you can afford.
Right.
So if you sit down with me and say, hey, this is the amount that I want, rate is not an issue because I got you the price and the payment that you're looking for. Right. You know, how many of us go and buy shoes and purses? Are we calculating what rates, you know?
Right.
Or renting, how much, you know, interest rate we've been paying?
I just eliminated over $250 per month today by going over all the stuff I've subscribed to.
Oh my God.
This monthly massage thing that I pay for that I don't even go to. Yeah, she's like, you have seven of them. I said, cancel it. My husband's good. Just a lot of, again, that goes back to counting the cost and being good stewards over what you're given. Yes, I go to Park Lawn Assembly of God, and we believe in the word when it comes to buying a house.
Shout out
to Pastor Harvey. Yeah, Bishop Harvey.
Bishop, yes.
But he's no longer that. Pastor Arrington.
Dr. Arrington.
So, but in any believer, any leader, any person, count the cost. Look at what you're really spending your money on. I don't have the courage to go into what I spend on food every month yet. I'm getting that. I probably could reduce, take off another $700 just by and then what I eat. That Gruyere is really expensive. That cheese.
Gruyere.
It's when before even going to when she says she works on, she deals with mainly what your budget is. Understand what your budget is. Take a look. Don't be scared to see. Look at what you have. I encourage people to do a 30 to 60 day. Pull what your account is. See where your money is going.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you can really, you can determine if you can buy a house or if you're disciplined enough to say, I need to cut this out. I'm going to cut this out.
Right. So that was the benefit of that housing resources that have been around forever, because a part of that is they force you to look at your bank statements and where a lot of your money is coming from. But I always said I didn't want to be house poor.
Yep.
I say that about my car. I don't want to be car poor. I don't want to get into a vehicle that looks fabulous for the world, and I can't go nowhere. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Or the gas is too much, or, you know, like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get into a house where you get this beautiful big house with all this square footage.
And you ride a bike.
Right. Or that utility bill is $300 a month. You know, now you need a lawn keeper. Now it is that water bill has increased because now you got to keep that up. So those are, I just do not want to be house poor. And I think people get caught up because of the bells and whistles, because everybody is fixing these houses up and they putting granite countertops. They putting islands in the kitchen. These floors look fabulous, you know.
Not really realizing that they're paying with interest somebody else's upgrades, that some of them you're probably going to change yourself. So yeah. I always say, you know, if you can, don't pay for somebody else's upgrades, you know.
So now is not a time to sell, huh?
No, you have to just ask yourself the question.
Yeah. Why you're selling.
Yep. Again, what is your end game in selling? Like, I'm currently selling two houses right now, and my end game is different from, I'm not selling to buy another property, at least not here anyway. You know, some people are selling because they want to get out of Milwaukee. It's like, and then some houses, if they're buying in another state or they're buying another house, is a contingency to sell. You have to sell it because you may not qualify for a better house in a better neighborhood or what in another state, because you have that debt. Your debt to income ratio is a little skewed, so you have to do that to kind of lower it. So
isn't this the time to cash out though? To sell my house? Like, if I have a house, it's just,
I mean, if you know where you're going to live,
where you're going to go.
Right. Like, yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously, but if you wanted to sell and you had a plan to where you're going to live, like, maybe I'm downsizing, maybe I want to, you know,
get a condo on the east side, or rent.
I want to go rent.
I can capitalize on it, it would be a great time to sell.
Yeah.
But I encourage sellers alike, sell something that you want the new buyer to say, hey, you know what, this person took care of the house. Or when you're selling a house, like Laverne, I know when you sell your house, someone is going to say, wow, they really took care of this house. They really did some great things to this house. Thank this seller instead of saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe this seller just slapped this up here and put this on the market. And I bought it because I wanted to, I needed to buy a house. So, but yeah.
So one more question I got for you, and then I'll give you guys both a chance to say what the last things you want us all to know. So can you put too much money into a house?
Yep.
I see a lot of that. So I'm not going to say what area. There's an area of, okay, let me say this. There's that Lloyd Street, you know where Lloyd Street School
is? I'm not going to say it, but let me say it.
I'm going to say it anyway. Because I'm not trying to knock down
Josie Heights.
Is it right? Oh, Titonia and Lloyd Street and all those houses are kind of popping. Huh?
Off 12th.
All the Titonia by the funeral home.
Yeah. So all those newer houses are popping up, and they're going for...
absolutely. Look at where they're... Look at the proximity.
Because they right off the highway in Pfizer Forum, is that going to be... Is that a benefit
so
to buy
looking
right now
at
there?
The looking at the end game, look at how they're developing all of that area. I mean, I'm not tooting, but I made a killing selling my house over there last year. Because 5 years before, I bought it for little to nothing and put in the work and put in the effort. But I said, look, they're building this Pfizer Stadium right here. We can walk to the stadium from where I am, fix the house up, and I guarantee I made over the course of time $160,000 from the time that I've owned it. It appreciated that fast. So that's what they said. Come on now, give me the horns. That's how, and that's the importance of having a good relationship with the realtor and a lender who can see the market. Like when I lived in Denver, there was a realtor, he wouldn't even sell me a house in a certain neighborhood because he respected. Like, hey, you know what? This house is not going to appreciate. You might want to be, you know, certain areas. So, yeah, I see what they're doing. Matter of fact, I have a buyer over there now.
Now they're up to 300.
Yeah, and I had a buyer who bought. But she's got over 100 in equity because she bought over there during the downtime, the new builds.
Yeah.
So
one of my, I don't know if anybody ever paid attention. Did you remember like the one lone house that was sitting in the middle?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody owns it now.
Yes. One of my friends owned that.
And now they're starting
to
build
over there. And I
think
it's like 160 she paid for that, for that house. And
it's becoming diversified.
Yeah. And so I'm like, and then Natalie knows someone who is having her house built. She's in the final stages of having her house built over in that area. But I just can't see it. So instead of buying building, would it still be beneficial to like buy the houses that exist already over there if someone is selling? Or no? That she grunting, y'all.
It depends on what you want versus what's out there versus what you can, because sometimes we come in with the notion we want this, and our expectations are so high. A realtor will say, hey, after these many houses, you may be better off building exactly what you want. You do have that. But if you have certain things that you can't change, like you said, your need was important was location. You can't change location.
Yeah.
You may buy a house, especially if it's in a neighborhood that has an HOA. You can't really change. You can't build out without approval. So
right.
But you know, it definitely is a personal question as to what you would want to do. Our job and our hope is to present you with all the facts to where you can make a decision as to what you want to do. And then if you still say you want to do this, but we see you doing the other thing, let's have that come to Jesus moment.
Right.
You know,
right.
A lot of us realtors, we say, hey, it's time for us to have that come to Jesus moment. Some realtors are quicker than others. I have learned through my mentors, shout out to Dion Barnes and Angela Walters, over time, I never stopped learning, that you gotta rein them in early or you both will be frustrated.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got to manage expectations.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And you got to follow through and you got to follow up every week because even though you're working with a customer and they're looking and they don't hear from you, it's like they're thinking you're still not interested, you know, and you just... They'll go somewhere else, you know. Oh, you know what? I know. Let me see if I can get a better. But I think if you are always having those conversations with them and just following up to see how the house hunting is coming around. If they have any additional questions, you know, as they're looking, is, you know, is anything going to stop them? I have a lot of customers that come back and say, hey, I want to buy this car. And they're looking. And I say, yeah, get your house key first. And then you think about the car.
Well, that was backwards for me, though, because I was scared, cause but it was a lease. And I was like, I have no choice. I have to get rid of my car. So I ended up with a car first, then the house. But you clarified that for me is that because I've been paying a car note for several years because I've leased, that wouldn't necessarily hurt me to say I... You could get another lease. And then I got out of that.
Yeah, because your payments were almost the same.
It was almost
the same. So it's not going to hurt you.
And so, even when she started buying a house, a couple of things that we say, the lenders become like the CIA and the IRS. So always have your stuff together. You may have to send stuff duplicatively, so prepare for that.
We need your DNA.
From from inception to reception.
Did you call that
duplicatively.
I like words. Duplicity.
So we are going to, this has been, I feel like there needs to be another part to this, but I think you guys have dropped a lot of gems on us. The number one gem is that 1% down payment. Like, but I think that you guys, whoever you go with, make sure you do your due diligence and researching the individual that you're working with. This is the biggest purchase you will ever make, and you want to make sure that someone is doing it in the best interest of you and not the best interest of them. And because that can happen, you can get motivated by that money. Those checks are large when, you know, depending on the house that you sell. And so people's motivations, not always you. So the higher the price of the house, the bigger that chunk they may get back. And so if that's their motivation, that's not where you want to be. And so, again, I'm not just talking about this because these are friends of mine. I'm talking about this is because how they truly, truly took care of me. And I had somebody at Sicily Door, your friend and my cousin, shortly after, you know, we were neck and neck going and buying something. And then... and I will say that she didn't use Tab. She used somebody else and was extremely frustrated during that process. But there's some amazing people out here who do what Tab do, you know, too. There's some strong women and men out here doing, you know, doing a great job and doing it for the right reasons. But if you're looking for somebody and you have not been attached to anybody, make sure you holler at both the Cicely Weaver and Tabitha Jordan. So the one thing you would, either of you would want the people to know is what?
Follow through, honesty, and just be there.
Yeah. Trust yourself, right?
Trust, yep.
Don't trust yourself. No, I'm just kidding. Not only trust yourself, but you have to trust the people that are around you, that's working on your behalf. I never claim to be the goat of real estate. There are so many dope real estate experts out there. And I know I'm anointed to do what I do. But get someone who really sees your vision and will help your vision to come to pass. And look at it like a relationship. If you don't treat the person right, it's so many realtors out there that will, so many lenders, and know that we're here for you. And our greatest joy, I think that's why I love working with Cicely, was that the impact, we impact lives after you sign the dotted line and get
your
keys.
And we ate good.
And we ate real good.
We ate good.
Still trying to work it off. Still trying to work it off.
After we got them keys.
Yeah.
So thank you, ladies, so much for joining me. This special edition on Is It Time to Buy and what are you waiting on? It's time, you guys. And if it's not time right now, just know what you need to do. So where can they find you, Cicely?
Bell Bank Mortgage, number 414-388-1487.
All right. Those will be in the notes. And where can they find you, Ms. Tab?
With Jesus.
I'm just joking. I'm at Coldwell Banker, the downtown office, but you can call me 414-839-0368, tabitha.jordan@cbrealty.com, or you can try to get in contact with Laverne, Cicely, mm-hmm.
Start with Cicely. Don't come to Tab if you ain't talked to Cicely now.
Yeah, absolutely.
With that pre-approval. And she gave you the real number.
Yep, that's my number. Call me not anytime, but
she do got a husband, y'all.
Talk to Jesus first.
All right, Tommy, thank you for being the side host and being in place with Natalie. Yay. We miss my girl.
A lot hairier than Natalie.
Just a little bit. All right, I'm Laverne Badger, and this is Exposed, the podcast, and we will see you next time.